happened? Am I supposed to preach to this side or something? Everybody decided to sit on that side. What's going on? I don't know. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving? You know, the only thing that was stuffed on turkey wasn't just the turkey, it was me too. Anybody else? I got stuffed, man. It was a great day. But now that Thanksgiving is over, we can start Christmas. I never like starting Christmas till after Thanksgiving. Anybody? You know, you want to finish Thanksgiving. But I'm married. I'm married. And my Christmas tree was up 3 weeks ago, all right? All right, my Christmas tree was up three. I always, you know, it's after Thanksgiving. The stores, it's even before Halloween. I mean, you know, I walked through Orchard Supply, and they had Christmas up before Halloween. You know, but they're not the only ones. You know, my favorite place on earth besides the church is Disneyland. And, they have a big event for Halloween during Disneyland time, during Halloween time. But they already started making transitions for Christmas before the 30th of October. You know, but I just like waiting. But you know, as I was thinking about this, what am I going to share during the time of Christmas? And wouldn't it be nice to have an old-fashioned Christmas? I remember the time, you know, going to my grandma's house. Anybody? You know, going to grandma's house and saying they were grandma, you know, and like I've told you this before, I wasn't a Christian at the time, and grandma would sit there in her recliner and she'd say, "What was Jesus' mother's name?" And I'm just sitting there like, okay. You know, I had some cousins, the ones that got me into church, would, "Oh, that's Mary, you know, and oh, that's Joseph, and he was born in Bethlehem," and all right, if you say so. You know, that old-fashioned Christmas. But as I was thinking about that, and remember going that and going to the school for family get-togethers or watching my aunt and uncles play dominoes during the holidays. And anybody? You know, you had that. But as I was thinking about it, I remembered something one of my professors told me. My professor told me this. He says, the past becomes nostalgic when you forget the bad. That the past gets brighter as the bad seems to fade. And so as I was thinking about the message, I started thinking about, do I really want a Christmas? An old-fashioned Christmas? You know, I can remember times in my family when Laura and I didn't have Christmas for our kids. Anybody? You know, there was just nothing there. You know, I remember the time we're driving up to Sacramento for Christmas Eve, and as I'm driving down the road, a tire rolls by my car, and it happens to be my tire. You know, I don't know if somebody loosened the lug nuts, or I don't know what happened, but I had a tire, you know, and so I'm sitting alongside the road. You know, I remember when it was a treat. You know what? One of our traditions, Laura set up, and she called this a tradition, all right? We didn't have much. We're struggling through life, and we'd go to the mall, and the tradition was you want to get parked way out in the parking lot and get on the Kiwanis shuttle. And you want to ride through the mall on the Kiwanis shuttle that took you from the parking lot to the store. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Those were the treats, you know. You know, Laura having an accident on Christmas Day. You know, or the abuse of alcohol. I remember sitting at the dining room table. And the abuse of alcohol led to arguments. Anybody? You know, we think about the old-fashioned Christmas, and yet what happens is we've kind of let the bad fade. You know? But what's interesting is every generation wants an old-fashioned Christmas. Anybody ever read a book by Charles Dickens? Anybody know a guy named Charles Dickens? Anybody read a book by Charles Dickens? It's called A Christmas Carol, right? Yeah, he wrote a great book. He wrote the book in about the 1840s, okay, sometime in the 1840s. But you know the setting of that book is the late 1700s. They were still looking for an old-fashioned Christmas. Some of you experienced, I'm getting older now, so maybe, some of you experienced the Great Depression. Anybody? And it was, you know, the old-fashioned Christmas, you know, that materialistic world that we were living in, you know, what do? You just don't have anything. And so what I want us to think about this morning as I think about an old-fashioned Christmas is It's not those things, but maybe what we want when we want an old-fashioned Christmas is we want some semblance of religion, something spiritual. When we think about an old-fashioned Christmas, maybe we want something like the songs that we were singing, some of the old-time carols. Anybody? Yeah. Maybe when we think of an old-fashioned Christmas, maybe what we're really desiring is, you know, that the food. Grandma fixed everything. Anybody? Grandma, there was not one. She fixed everything, even those rotten yams. You know, what's that purple stuff? Cranberry. Is that purple? Who eats cranberry? Yeah, you guys are raising your hands. I'm going to let that fade from my mind. But we think about the food. We think about the family. You know, the good times. You know? And so I kind of put it this way. What we really want is food, family, friends, and fun. That's what we really want for Christmas. And I think that's what God wants us to have. I like these words here. How do we get there is what I wanted to think about this morning. How do we get there? How do we get to that expectation of a Christmas? Listen to what the angel said. As a matter of fact, just kind of give you a little hint. For the next four messages, we're going to look at the words of the angels. Wouldn't it be nice to kind of hear what the angels say? And so we're going to look at the words of the angels as we look at Christmas. And look at what it says here. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And this morning, I want us to think about peace. Because many times as we look back on our Christmases or the holidays, sometimes there wasn't much peace. Anybody struggle with that? You know, sometimes there was tension. Sometimes there's broken relationships. And maybe today, you know, the broken relationships and family don't talk. And so I want us to think about peace for the next few weeks, this morning, in the next few weeks as you think about Christmas. Can peace make a difference in your Christmas? Can a little peace change things? See, I remember one of my professors. He said this. Do we live in a world, this is a history professor, do we live in a world that is a world of peace with times of war? Or do we live in a world of war with times of peace? And it made me think, which kind of world do we live in? As we look at Christmas and we look at Jesus, he come to bring peace on earth. What kind of world do we live in? Now, if you know me and you've been around here long enough, you know I am an optimistic person. That's my personality. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe we live in a world of war. You open the newspaper, you get on the internet, there's wars everywhere. There's wars in America. Yeah. There's social war, racial war. We live in this world that's messed up. We live in a broken world. Many of us have broken families. How do we deal with this? And it's Christmas, and we're supposed to what? We're supposed to smile. We're supposed to have a good time. It's a celebration. It's time for family. And yet, it's hard. And so I want us to think about this peace that we have and this peace that we need. And how do we get this? And where does it come from? You know, I enjoy a place called Disneyland, right? Anybody? Some people are leaving today, tomorrow, right? I think Ernie's leaving tomorrow. Some are leaving today. They're going to go today. You know, I get to go in January, all right? I'm going in January. But I have this little picture here. I think there's a picture up there. Do I have it here? There it is. It's a small world. It's a small world. But here's what I want you to know. I enjoy Disneyland. I enjoy taking pictures like that. But Disneyland is not going to bring peace on earth. All right? Disneyland is not going to bring peace on earth. It might claim to be the happiest place on earth, but there's only one place that peace comes from. And it's what the angels was declaring. I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you this, glory to God in the highest. peace on earth. Look at what it says here in Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Why don't you circle that? If you want peace this Christmas, you need to unwrap the Prince of Peace in your life. Does that make sense? If you want to enjoy Christmas, and you want an old-fashioned Christmas that has a spiritual meaning, that's family, that's friends, that's fun, that's food, that's everything you dream of, that old-fashioned Christmas that you can just go back to, it's going to happen when you unwrap the Prince of Peace. It's not going to happen in this world. It's not going to happen when you go to the store and you get the perfect gift. Anybody ever struggle finding the perfect gift? You know, what do I get? That perfect gift. What do I get? You know, we struggle with all that. You know, that's going to make them happy. That's going to bring peace. Does it really? How about fleeting peace? Because see, here's the problem. You know, as I thought about what's the issue? Why can't we have peace? Why can't we have peace in our life? Why can't we have peace in our families? Why can't we have peace in America? Why can't there be peace in this world? I'm going to give you the cause. It's real simple. The cause and the problem is we're self-centered. We want the world around me. It's about what I want. It's about what I want now, not later, but now. You know, we buy the perfect gift. Anybody struggle to buy the perfect gift? And you give it to them, and then they want the receipt so they can. You worked hard to pick that one out. But you're a dumb husband. You know, you think you got it all figured out. But they want to exchange it because they want. None of you guys ever return your Christmas gifts, right? Yeah. Why do we return them? Because we wanted something different. Because it's about me. It's about my wants and what I like. And it's about my agenda. See, we live in a self-centered world. We live in a world that it's all about us. You know, the abuse, the physical abuse, the sexual abuse, it's all self-centered stuff. It's all about who we are and what we want. If you don't think we're self-centered, we whiten our teeth. I don't know if any of you do that. You know, if your teeth aren't straight, you're going to do what? You're going to straighten your teeth. And if anybody had a nose like mine, you'd probably get a nose job. You know? Two of them, all right. You know? Yeah. You turn 60, so I got to get the wrinkles gone. I'm going to go to the plastic surgeon. You know? I don't want no crow's feet. You know? If you don't like your hair, what do? I was giving my aunt a bad time. I got gray hair. She's about a couple of months older than me. She don't have any gray hair. She goes, yeah. It's a bottle. You know? See, it's all about us. We look in the mirror and see, the problem in our world, the problem we don't have peace is it's about me. I mean, and the world knows this. You used to go to Burger King and you can have it your way. Remember that? That's self-centeredness. It's I want it my way. You go to a restaurant, you order a steak. What do you tell them? I want mine medium well. Laura wants it burnt. You order eggs, and what's the question? How do you want your eggs? How do you like your eggs? We live in a self-centered world, and we wonder why the world's all messed up. Why can't we have peace? Because it's all about me. And it's not about you. Yeah. It's about me. See, and we want, and then we have these expectations. I expected you to do this. I expected that. Yeah. See, we live in this broken world and we look at everything else. It's all out there. And what I want us to see this morning, if you want peace, it's not going to start out there. Let me tell you, peace in this world will not happen until there's peace in this nation. And there will be no peace in this nation until there's peace in the communities. There'll be no peace in the communities until there's peace in our families. There'll be no peace in our families until there's peace in you, in me. See, we like to think the problem's out there. But the problem is in here. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. Do we really have that? Or is it glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill towards Gary? See, I want the goodwill. And I want it my way. See, I want to challenge us this morning. How are you going to get that peace? You want a great Christmas? I'm going to give you three things real quick. Just three things if you want a great peace and you want it. It's going to be this. It's going to be a reconciliation. We're going to have to reach a point where we're going to have some reconciliation. I'm sure all of us have broken relationships. I'm sure we have tense relationships. There's marriages that are struggling. There's boyfriends, girlfriends that are struggling. There's workplaces that we don't even want to go to work because we know that so-and-so is going to be there and I just... Yeah. We're not even, some of us won't even go to somebody's house because, remember? And it hurts. I'm not going to deny those hurts. I'm not going to deny those pains. But if you want an old-fashioned Christmas, a Christmas of joy, and peace. It's going to take some reconciliation. Because it's not about us. And it's not about me. So I want to challenge us this morning to reconcile. As I'm sharing this message, I want you to think about who do you need to reconcile with? As I share this message, who is it that's caused you heartache? That maybe hurt you. That you're letting that past be a pain today. So I'm going to challenge us. But I'm going to tell you, it's a three-step process, and it's a process, and it's three steps, okay? Because it's going to begin with this right here. If you look at this. Oh, right here. I had a scripture here. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Aren't they caused by selfish desires that fight to control you? Isn't that what we're saying? But here's the key. Jesus offers peace with God. If you're going to have peace, you're going to have to start about that relationship with God. All right? That's where peace is going to have its beginning. That's where peace is going to start. Let me tell you something. If you got a problem with somebody else, it doesn't start with them. It goes back to here. All right? Listen. If you're not at peace and you haven't reconciled with some others, it doesn't start with them. It starts here with peace with God. See, we have this war going on inside of us. We're in a war. Because I'm going to tell you something. If God is not God in your life, you're God. That's why it's self-centeredness. See, there is a God. Because see, you can be thumbing your nose at God. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want. I don't care what God says. I've heard people tell me that. And what you're saying is this. If you don't have God in your life, what you're saying is you're God. And how good are you doing with it? How good are you at being God of your life? Have you done really well being God? I've got control. Do you really have control? Do you have it all figured out? Do you know what you need to do today for tomorrow or the next week? You get it all. See, if you don't have God in your life, if you haven't reached a point with God, then you're God. How do I say this over and over to you? I say you got to reach a point in your life where you say this, right? 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 God, I'm tired of doing things my way. What I'm saying is this, God, I'm tired of being God. I'm tired of being my own God. My life is messed up. I've made some poor choices. I've been in that boat. I am in that boat sometimes. So if you don't have this relationship with God, it's your God. How you doing? If you look at the world and it's not where you want to be, it's your fault because you're God. If you don't like your life, it's only your fault because you're God. See, Christmas is about coming to God and finding peace. It's coming to God and seeing God as God and not yourself. See, we like to say, well, I want to do my thing, and we don't think that's being God. But I'm going to tell you, you're being God. If you don't have God in your life, then you think you're God. How good are you doing? Can I blame you for the world being all messed up? Because you think you're God. See, there's a war going on inside of us. We think it depends on us. It's all on me. And we live our lives that way. Look at what it says here. Romans 5:1. Now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that peace comes in that right relationship with God. When you let God rule on the throne of your life, then you have peace with God. But there's this war going on. Things change. You don't have peace. Anybody here ever get irritable? Anybody? Holiday? Aggravated? Short-tempered? Angry? Depressed? Anybody? That's because you think you're God. I got this, God. See, you got to reach that point where, God, you got to be God. I can't do this. I cannot make it through this world by myself. I'm going to tell you, I have no control. You think I can control Laura? You guys are going to laugh, aren't you? Now, I'm married. She's my wife. Can I control myself? Do you think I ever do things I do not want to do? Anybody ever wrestle with that? You read that there in Romans where Paul's wrestling. Why do I do what I do not want to do and I want to do? I get confused with all those eyes. Why? Because, see, we're God. I want to challenge you this morning. If you want a wonderful Christmas, start by letting God be God. Quit trying to be God. Quit trying to take care of everything. Quit trying to control everything. Quit trying to figure everything out. And just let God be God. Let God do his part and you do your part. Your part is real simple. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. Man, I am glad I made that decision at 17. I already had made enough bad choices before I was 17, all right? For me, being a Christian and crossing that invisible line, it makes life easy. Life is not that complicated. Don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, love God. All right, I got some of the Ten Commandments in there, didn't I? It just makes life easy. Life's not that hard to figure out when you get God. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Pretty good. A lot of wisdom in that. Quit trying to be God. And you're saved by faith. That's what you do. I put this passage in here. You'll recognize it. For by grace, you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. That's the greatest gift. You want a great gift this Christmas? I'm going to tell you, don't wait till December 25th to unwrap this one. If you do not know Jesus Christ, and you're running around in this world trying to figure everything out, I've got control, I've got it all figured out, I know the plan for my life, I've got it all laid out, I know where I'm going. Yeah, do you? Unwrap that gift of Jesus Christ. See, there's a peace with God. And I call this peace with God is a spiritual peace, is what I wrote there. Peace with God is a spiritual peace. See, what is amazing to me is to see how science is finally catching up to God. You know, science think they're so smart. They are starting to acknowledge now, you know what? There is a spiritual dimension in people. It's like, duh. I knew that when I was 17. That there's a spiritual dimension. And people fill it with all sorts of stuff. False religions, money, drugs, alcohol. We got this home. We try to cram all this stuff into it. Because see, I'm God. I know what I need. I know what I need. I just need another drink. I just need another hit. You know, we're going to legalize that in California. I pray not. I just need to make more money. That's all I need. Who's that? That's God. You're playing God. By grace. Through faith. See, God offers this gift. So I'm going to tell you, you want peace? You need peace in your life? You need to start right here. How's that relationship with God? How you doing? Is God God? Or do you got it? God, I got this one. You got life figured out? I turned 60 this year. Matter of fact, just a few days ago, so I'm just barely 60. I don't have life figured out. I really don't. I don't know, you know, I know what I'm doing right now as I'm staying here. Someday, maybe I'll retire. You guys are going to have to put up with me for a long time. I don't know. I don't have life figured out yet. I know what I'm doing this week. At least that's my plan, unless something changes. But I can't control that change. So I'm just going to let God be God, and I'm going to go. And I told Laura, I'm going to be really nice. I get to fly, just so you know, I'm going to Nashville this week. I got small group training. I got picked in the state of California to go to Nashville for some small group training. And they're paying for my flight, and I'm going to go and have a great time there. So I'm going to that, and I told Laura, I'm going to bring you back some stuff from the Country Music Hall of Fame. And if you know Laura, she hates country music. But I'm going to bring her something back. You know? That's my plan. What's going to happen? I don't know. God's in control. I'm going to enjoy the ride. Do you have a peace with God? Do you have a peace? You're not going to have peace anywhere else until it starts here. It starts here. It begins here. We can put a good face on all sorts of stuff, but there is no peace and no true peace until you have peace with God. After we have peace with God, the next step was this. I got to open my bulletin here. Jesus offers you the peace of God. See, once you cross that line, once you cross that line and you surrender your life to God and you let God be God and you quit being God, you can have some peace. You don't have to try to figure it all out anymore. You don't have to work it all out. You don't have to worry about it. You can allow God to guide and direct. This is some emotional peace. But there's four things that get in the way of this. And this all flows through and all comes out of that self-centeredness. So I wrote them this way. Here's four things you got to be aware of that's going to rob you of your peace. I put uncontrolled circumstances, unexplained problems, unchangeable people, an unacceptable self. See, we don't understand. Without God, how do you understand your circumstances? I loved our study, our 40-day study, talked about middle moments. That in the storms of life, you're in the middle of that sea and in the middle of a storm. Do you really understand those circumstances? You understand what's going on and what God's doing? Unexplained problems. Why me? Anybody ever cry, why me? Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Anybody besides me? You know? Or how about these unchangeable people? Anybody get frustrated with somebody else? You know, don't look at them if it's your wife right here, your husband, it might not be good. You know, what do you do? You know, how do you deal with these unchangeable people? See, we live in this world, and how do we find this peace? You get this relationship with God, and he gives you this peace, that this war that he brings peace. But how about that emotional peace? You know, how do you deal with those circumstances? How do you deal with those problems? How do you deal with those challenges? I like what it says here. Look at what it says. I've told you this so that my peace will be with you. In the world, you will have trouble. But cheer up, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. In this world, you're going to have trouble. He didn't say you might have trouble. See, I got news for you. It's not going to be good news for many of you. and some of you probably already know this news, that before Christmas is coming, you're going to have some problems. Anybody? Yeah. And it might be even before the end of this week, you got some problems. And if you really, really have bad luck, it might be before you walk out the door. I don't know. Yeah. But the world has problems. It says in this world, you're going to have trouble. We're going to have struggles in this world. But cheer up. I've overcome. The Prince of Peace has come. The Prince of Peace lives in you. You can trust Him. You can rely on Him. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to control it. You just have to trust God. Because you're not God anyway. You can't do anything about it anyway. You got to trust God. He's God. How much power does God have? All power? How much knowledge does God have? All knowledge? You know? Where's God present? He doesn't know what trouble you're in? He's everywhere, right? I mean, let Him be God. And there's a peace that comes that He can give. I like what it says here and what Paul wrote in Philippians. Paul's sitting in jail. Look what he writes. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Don't worry. What was that old Jamaican song? Be happy. How'd that thing go? Don't worry. I can't remember. You know, I don't think you have to go that way. I think you have to come back to God. See, there's a peace. I don't understand. I don't get this. I can't explain this. I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know why it's happening to you. I don't get this. But you know what? I know God. And God is a good God, and God is a gracious God, and God is a loving God, and God is a merciful God. I know God. I don't have to understand all this, but I know God. See, there's a peace in that. See, there's a comfort in that. See, there's a peace that comes from God when we walk with God, when we're part of Him. But I put this last one in here because to me this is really important. Unacceptable self. This one's kind of different. See, a lot of us have problems with ourselves. We don't like ourselves. We don't like who we become. We don't like who we are. You know, this is one of the things, and we struggle with that self-image. One of the things for me, like I turned 60. Thank you guys for all the birthday. I've had a great time turning 60. But I was worried about turning 60. Not about certain things, but I was wondering, because I never had any problem. You know, sometimes you go through, you turn 30, and it's kind of like, what's going on in my life? You know, you turn 40, you know, you turn 50, and you just kind of worry about these stages of life. We have these seasons of life, and you kind of think about these things. And a couple of months ago, I'm turning 60, you know, you didn't think much about it, but, you know, I'm getting close to 60, and you start thinking about life. What's my life meant? Have I made a difference in life? Does my life matter? And I started wondering, am I going to have a problem turning 60? You know, do I feel like a failure? You know, here I come to a church with 15. Now we got 70 people. Whoa, really? You know, Rick Warren has 35,000 and Ed Young has 25,000. And anybody, you know, you ever race with those things in your life? Anybody? Is it just me? It's raining. Got to say it. You guys were all looking up. Might as well tell you news if you didn't know. It's raining. Yeah. But do you ever have this self? I want to tell you something. Something I realize, and like I say, I'm still learning. It's amazing to me. Maybe I'm dumb, all right? Maybe I'm dumb. I'm amazed with how much I'm still learning about God, and I'm 60 years old. I've been doing this since I was 17. It's amazing how much I'm still learning. That passage, and I'm going to really dwell on this passage. Not right here, but in a minute. Love your neighbor as yourself. Anybody? And I always thought about that passage that it's really easy to love ourselves. But you know what? Some of us don't love ourselves. Some of us are struggling here. Some of, you know, we don't like who we are. We don't like what we become. We don't like the things, the choices we made. We struggle with this idea. So how can we love our neighbor when we don't even love ourselves?
We had that poor, so how do I work with this? This is what I want to make sure you understand. That's why I put this verse here. We had this verse in our 40-day study, but we looked at the second half of this verse. I want you to look at the first half. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I want you to circle that word masterpiece. I want to make sure you know this. You are a masterpiece. All right? Every one of us is handmade special by God. When Laura and I went to Disney World, we have bought items for Disney World, but here's what my challenge was. I didn't want to buy something from Disney World that's made in China. You know, it's made in China. They're just selling it at Disney World. They have a place there where they blow glass. And so I had a guy blow a picture for me with the Mickey Mouse colors. Handmade for me. We're there the next time we went there with Jennifer and them, we were at Epcot, and there was a guy from Germany, and he blows glass ornaments. And he blew us a glass ornament with all sorts of colors and all sorts of beautiful things. We watched him blow. I took pictures of him blowing that. He made it for me. There's not another one like these two items. They're made for me. They are masterpieces for me. I want us to feel that about you. That God made you anew is what it says. And you're a masterpiece. You're just who God created you to be. See? And we need to see that. When you struggle with this peace, I think part of it comes back to this part right here, that you don't have peace with yourself. I'm not perfect. Now, I'm practically perfect. I'll run with Mary Poppins. You know? I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. Some of you have seen those mistakes. Some of you heard those mistakes. Yeah. But I am a masterpiece made by God, and you are. There's nobody else in this world like you. And we need to see that. See, that's that peace of God that gives me. I'm not here by accident. I have a purpose in life. I have meaning in life. My life is going somewhere. Sometimes I don't know where it's going, but God does, and I'm going to stick with him because I don't want to be God. I'll mess it up. See, do you get the picture here? See, that peace comes from God. And so I put this, the peace of God is an emotional peace. Do you have an emotional peace? You get a peace with God, and it comes with God. And once you get peace with God, you can have the peace of God. Does that make sense? And the last one I put here is this. Jesus shows us how to make peace with others. It's not good enough to be at peace with God and have the peace of God if you're at fighting with others. It don't work. You got to have a peace with others. And this is hard. I'm not going to have some magical wand that says, here's what you do. You just do this and it's all going to go perfect. It's hard. It's hard. But look at what he says. Look at what Jesus said. I mean, right off the bat, when Jesus first starts teaching the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Circle peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemaker. He didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. It's not good enough to keep peace. I'm not going to say anything so I can keep the peace. Anybody ever say that? I've heard it. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to hurt anybody. You need to be a peacemaker. See, we need to make peace. It's not good enough just to live. I'm just going to live at peace with everybody. It don't work. God has called us to be peacemakers, not troublemakers, not a critical spirit, but peacemakers, those who compliment, those who build up, those who encourage. That's what God called us to do. We need to be peacemakers. And this is hard. It is not easy. And this is here's what I thought about here. Jesus said, anybody recognize this one? Bless the children, for such is the kingdom of God. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Anybody see? Anybody remember those? That's in the Bible. I wonder about this. We always talk about you need to have the faith of a child. You know, just that. You know how children are just so trusting. You know, I used to have my kids stand on the table and jump to me. Right? Anybody ever did that with your kids? Jump, you know, and you catch them. They just trust you. You know, that's what kids. They just and we talk about that peace, that trust that the kids have. But there's something else I think kids have that God's seen. You ever notice kids? They have a friend. And they're fighting with that friend. And they're angry with that friend. And that friend did something to them. And they come running in. Rah, 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 and they're just all mad and upset. And I'm never playing with them again. I don't want to see their face again. Rah, 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 and they're just, they're done. Right? They get up the next morning and what do? They go to their friend. And it's like, what did you do, lad? What did you say? See, they have a forgiveness. I think God is saying something to us when he says that, not just a faith, but what about a forgiveness? Is there somebody you need to forgive this Christmas? See, this is what I wanted to bring the message to this morning. You want an old-fashioned Christmas? You want a joyous Christmas? You want a Christmas that had that fun and that food and the family and the friends? I'm going to tell you. You need to have forgiveness. There's been some hurts. You know, things get said. Stuff happens. And it hurts. I don't deny those hurts. I'm not going to say they just disappear. But there has to be a forgiveness. We have to learn to forgive. And it boils down to this verse right here again. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can we forgive ourselves? And then we can forgive others. See, we need to see that. There's this rough world. Life has bumps. Earlier we read the passage and God says, in this world you're going to have trouble. That's the truth. People are going to hurt you. Things are going to be said. But if you really want peace, you're going to have to learn to forgive. You have to learn to let go. Now listen, I want to make sure you understand something. When I'm talking about reconciliation, here's what I want to make sure you understand. I'm talking about forgiveness. Because here's what I have two words. I reconcile, I forgive. Forgiveness is instantaneous. I forgive them. I let it go. It's gone. That restoration is a process. Trust takes time to rebuild. Is that true? You can forgive, but you have to work on that trust. I believe in restoration. I believe in process of restoration. It may take some time. It may take years. And it may never happen, but you have to forgive. Because if you don't, it's going to eat you up. And I want to challenge us with that you have to let it go. So I want to challenge you this morning. Who do you need to forgive? I began with that. I'm coming back. Who do you need to let off the hook? See, God let you off the hook. God showed you grace. And God says, can you show others grace? Who do you need to cut some slack to? To let them slide. Yeah, they hurt you. And it's real and it's pain. You don't have to trust them. That takes a process. But you have to forgive them. You have to let it go. And I want to challenge you with that. Look at what it says here. For this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us the message of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19. We have that same job. God did it for us, and he's saying you need to do it for others. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to let go? See, we hang on to stuff. We cling to stuff. People say things. They said it. They did it. But you got to learn to let it go. You got to learn to forgive. See, but that brings peace. I try not to hold anything against anybody. In the positions I've been in, you need to know, I've had church members, not here, just so you know. I want to make sure you know it's not here. But I had church members yell at me in the middle of a restaurant. They were mad at me, And they were yelling at me in the middle of the restaurant. Yeah. And I was there with other church members. Yeah. I've told you, I had people sit out here in this town and say, they hate me. Yeah. I don't hold anything against them. I can't change their opinion. Yeah. Sitting on the school board, I'm sitting there watching people yell at me and call me all sorts of names. What do I do? One of the things that broke my heart, and it really stuck with me, making some hard decisions and making some, you know, it was really a tough time. And this guy that kind of led the opposition and the struggle, he was spearheading things and causing turmoil in my life. And it was frustrating because he had, you know, it's like you don't get it. That after all that turmoil went over, the guy's lost his job. And he was the one that started the whole business. And he lost it. And my heart went out to him. I wasn't, you know, it's like, ah, oh, finally, he got what he deserved. Anybody want to feel that way? He was after me, and now he got his comeuppance, man. That's, he deserved it, and he got it. No. That's not what I felt. I felt sorry. He had kids. How is he going to provide for his kids? What's he going to do? See, I could have held on grudges. But, you know, what are you going to do? I'm going to ask you. It hurts. I'm not going to. Thinking about it still hurts. You know, people you respect that do things to you hurt you. What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you something. If it depended on me, whew. Gary is a very vengeful guy. You need to know that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Some of you know I've said this in the past, but Gary gets even. That's my innate nature. I was raised with three brothers. My brother did something to me. I remember my brother doing something to me, and he was making a balsa wood airplane, which is a real flimsy airplane. He did something to me. You know what I did? That was toothpicks when I got done. You know? He hit me, so I just went in there where he was working on his plane, and I just crushed that thing up, and he had balsa wood toothpicks. You know? That's the nature. That's why it's got to start peace with God. Because if it's on me, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't let it go. I can't deal with it. I'm going to get even. But God in me changes that. That's why it starts with a peace with God. And I get that peace with God, and I can have a peace from God. And then I can have peace with others. You see how it works? You want an old-fashioned Christmas? You want to enjoy this Christmas? You want to have a great time? There's some relationships you need to renew. There's some forgiveness you need to let go, you need to have. There's things you need to let go of. See, you need to unwrap this gift that God has, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. So I put this as relational peace. You got to have relational peace. That's it. You just got to be at peace with others. You got to have that. But I want to conclude with this verse again. Look at what it says. Then a very large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the heaven, and on earth let there be peace among the people who please God. I want to ask you this Christmas, will there be peace in your home? Will there be peace in your family? Will there be peace in your heart? Will there be peace in your workplace? Will you have peace this Christmas? I'm going to tell you, you can't do it, but God can. Will you let God be God? Will you let God be God? Will you have the peace from God, the peace with God that you can have peace with others? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that your presence is real. That you just didn't wind this world up and push it off and say, I wish you luck in a world of war. But you sent the Prince of Peace into our lives, into our hearts. That simply by asking for faith, we can have a peace that passes all understanding. That we can have a Prince of Peace live with us and in us and guide us and direct us. And you know, as I'm praying, all our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And maybe you need some prayer. Maybe you're wrestling with some relationships and you need to pray about it. Would you just lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the arms that went up. They've lifted their heart and their mind to you. They've surrendered their life to you. But Lord, we battle this peace. There's pain. There's dysfunction. There's anger. There's hurts, Lord. And so I lift these up to you. You know the exact thing they went through. You know the circumstances, the situations. We can't explain it. We don't understand it. But Lord, I just ask you to comfort these hearts and guide them. Not with a why, but with a person named Jesus. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Mend their hearts. Comfort their minds that they may find peace through forgiveness. That you have shared grace on us, that we may show the grace to others. But we can't do it on our own. Left to our ways, Lord, it is not a pleasant sight. But we surrender to you, our hearts, our minds, our life. Help us love others as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.